Married at First Sight. Chapter 4289. Catherine, I know your injury isn't that serious. You just lost a little more blood than usual. After a few days in the hospital, you're almost fully recovered. It's clear you're not gravely hurt, yet you still refuse to forgive your brothers. You really want to send them to prison, don't you? Those are your own brothers, your flesh and blood, born of the same mother. If you hadn't pushed them too far, they wouldn't have treated you like that. You brought this on yourself. Catherine, mark my words, you won't have a good ending. You're as heartless and ruthless as your mother. People like that never find peace. Look at your mother, she had wealth and power, but what did it get her? In the end, she was destroyed, driven to death by her enemies. Everyone, look at this. I raised this ungrateful daughter. Not only does she refuse to support her own father, but she also sent her three brothers, no, five brothers behind bars. Three biological, two adopted. How did I end up with such a miserable fate? My own daughter turned on her family, determined to ruin her own brothers. Let me tell you all, this unfilial daughter of mine is Catherine, the eldest daughter of the Farrell family and president of the Farrell Group. Holden stood outside Catherine's hospital room, blocked by her bodyguards, unable to get in. He made a scene at the door, yelling and drawing attention from the crowd on purpose. Unfortunately for him, this was an old act. He pulled the same stunt multiple times a day so often that even the doctors lost patience and called hospital security to remove him. The spectacle had long lost its novelty. Catherine Farrell, the eldest daughter of the Farrell family, had been kidnapped and brutalized by her five brothers. This time, she was done with family loyalty. She called the police and had all five of them arrested. The shocking part? Her biological father believed that since she survived, she should let it go. He expected her to forgive them, hoping for leniency in their sentencing. When she refused, her father and adoptive mother showed up at the hospital daily, making a ruckus just to keep her from getting any rest. Her injuries weren't minor. The night she was brought to the hospital, she had nearly frozen to death. Her arm had been slashed with a knife, and her body was covered in bruises, painful reminders of the brutal beating her brothers had given her. Back when they attacked her, they had no regard for family bonds. So why should she? After a few days of following the drama, the people of Jensburg lost interest. Everyone sided with Catherine. She was the biological daughter of the Farrell family, but she had been switched at birth by the butler and raised in his rural hometown. Her adoptive parents mistreated and abused her. Despite growing up in such a harsh environment, she survived strong and resilient, like a weed pushing through concrete. Meanwhile, the butler's real daughter lived the life of a wealthy heiress in the Farrell family, doted on by everyone. Once the truth was exposed, Catherine returned to her biological family. But the adopted daughter stayed too, still enjoying the privileges of being the Farrell's second young lady. What followed was a series of events set in motion by the adopted daughter's own greed. In the end, she sealed her own fate. When Catherine finally reunited with her real family, her father and brothers treated her with nothing but hostility. Her mother, Clarissa, wasn't any better at first. But over time, things between them improved. The public had been following this scandal for a while. By now, they knew the whole story and their sympathy lay with Catherine. As for Holden? His outbursts were nothing more than the barking of a stray dog. Married at First Sight, Chapter 4290. Chapter 4290. Even the patients and their families staying on Catherine's hospital floor had grown tired of the spectacle. Most blamed Holden for his behavior. Only a handful tried to take the moral high ground, lecturing Catherine as if they had any right. She ignored them. Pedro handled those self-righteous busybodies for her. Her only focus was recovering. Miss, should I get rid of him? He comes here every day, making the same scene, shouting the same nonsense. He's not tired of hearing himself, but I'm tired of listening to it, Pedro grumbled as he handed Catherine a peeled apple. Catherine took a bite and said, "Let him scream. It helps him let off steam. If he bottles it up, it might ruin his health." She chewed thoughtfully. "I don't care what he says. Everyone has heard it all before. Let him talk, his words don't hurt me. But I want my father to live. I want him to live a long, long life, 80, 90, even 100 years. And I want him to watch me live happily. Even if I never take over Feral Group, I'll still have a successful life." Catherine had built her own career. Pedro was more than capable. Once Catherine was fully healed and discharged, she planned to marry Pedro. In every way that mattered, they were already husband and wife. When Liberty officially took over the Farrell family business, Catherine and Pedro would step away from that world and focus entirely on their own endeavors. Without the weight of the Farrell legacy, life would be far more peaceful. "For all his noise, my father is the only one making a fuss," Catherine noted. "My three sisters-in-law have kept their distance. When he's not around, they visit with their children. They comfort me, encourage me to focus on my recovery, and even have their kids apologize on behalf of my brothers. They're much more reasonable than my father." Of course, that wasn't surprising. The brothers had treated their wives terribly. Now that they were in prison, their wives could finally breathe. While they were free, those men kept mistresses, betraying their marriages without a second thought. The two younger sisters-in-law had stayed in their marriages, swallowing their grievances for the sake of their children and their share of the inheritance. The eldest sister-in-law, Erica, had divorced and was now trying to change her children's perception of Catherine. Surprisingly, Catherine's nieces and nephews now treated her much better. After hearing their father and grandfather constantly badmouth her, they had started questioning things. The older kids, who had learned a bit of law, understood that their fathers had committed serious crimes. They realized that their aunt had every right to refuse forgiveness. After all, their fathers had planned the kidnapping with the intent to kill her. There was no way she could have just let that go. Pedro scowled. "I get so mad hearing him insult you like that." Catherine smiled. "Don't waste your anger on him. Look at me, I'm not bothered. I'm here, eating my apple, enjoying my day. He can shout all he wants. In a few minutes, the doctor will call security to drag him away. I don't care, but he's disturbing other patients. Let's see if their families will tolerate it."